Hello and welcome to episode 123 of the Drive the Green podcast. I'm your host, Maddie B, joined as always by Bronell and Harv. On this episode, we are going to recap John Rahm's victory at the Memorial Tournament and the carnage that happened, let's say, at Muirfield Village this week as compared to last week. Two very different courses, which we kind of knew from the caddies in the round table last week.
Mm-hmm.
Harv's prepared some questions for us. Some may call it pod filler. Some may call it content. We'll get there.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
It is what it is.
We're going to get to picks. You prepared a top five as well.
Yep.
Lots to go through. So before we get started, we want to thank our sponsor, Player Golf, PLYRGolf.com. Use the promo code DriveTheGreen. The Player Cup is back, announced. I think it was Friday, and talked to Chase today. Sold out in like 3 hours.
Incredible.
Hot commodity, that two-man scramble tournament.
Is it two-man scramble? I thought it was two-man best ball.
Two-man scramble, I believe. I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
So Chase puts on a good tournament, and it shows. So congrats to him for filling that. Probably celebrated on the weekend, partied. And we'll be, I got a sneaking suspicion we'll be bringing this up again next week. Wink, wink.
Hmm.
But we'll get there. Don't want to let the cat out of the bag. Yeah, so before we really get rolling here, we have a little bit of housekeeping to do. Last week on the pod, during the picks segment, I was going to prepare the audio clip, but it was too long. So I'm just going to summarize in here. Cliff's notes version. I bet Bronell that, well, he said, does someone want to bet on JT's finish? He said, over under 15. I hopped all over it. Justin Thomas finished T26, something like that.
T18.
18?
Yeah, it was 20.
It dropped to 18?
It was 20 for the longest time on Sunday and then dropped to 18 right at the end.
Oh, yeah. So obviously I took under, and the bet was a six-pack of beer during this podcast.
Yep.
So I showed up a little bit early to studio to get that one first one in. So it's in. It's a tall boy, so we're going to call that like 1.5.
Okay.
Four tall boys.
Tough to get that other half in, but
well, that's where I'm getting at. I brought some Radlers, so those are ones, not halves.
he's done already. Basically, what he's getting at is a roundabout way of saying he's done.
I was going to, like, I'm a man of my words, so I wasn't obviously going to bring Heineken 0.0s, which I've dabbled in. Drink six of those. I mean, I'm going to be up all night pissing anyway.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm going to drink probably, let's call it, two tall boys and 2 to 3 regular cats.
What is going on here?
Well, it should be three. That would make six. Yeah. Two tall boys is three beers.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
If you drink two tall boys and three Radlers, I'll give it to you.
Okay. Well, this other one's not a Radler. It's a Session Ale. It's 4.5. Okay. That one counts.
So, anyways.
So the tall boy and the Session Ale, I'm at 3. We'll agree to disagree.
Also, we forgot to mention last week, we've changed venues on the pod.
Yes, we have. We've moved into a much bigger studio. This one has a vehicle parked in it. The other one had some children's toys in it, but this one's got a vehicle in it.
Some Steelers jerseys, of course.
Yes, of course.
Bronell's garage. Yeah. What do you guys think?
That's nice. I like it here.
Acoustics seem fine.
Yeah, you mentioned that it might have been echoey, but I don't think it was last week.
Fair enough.
I listened back. It was fine.
Yeah. I do, speaking of echoey, for those avid listeners, loyal listeners that listen to the pod every week, we do apologize. Last week's roundtable sound was not our best work. I mean, we couldn't just edit out all of it, so we played it.
I mean, a six-man Zoom is tough.
Yeah, it was more Jules' feedback on his kind of hurt the sound, so we apologize for that. Thanks for coming back listening this week. But okay, before we get into John Rahm at the Memorial, we should probably do our weeks. The count, I'm putting in a July here.
Oh man,
44, 44 and 20, and that doesn't include tonight.
Yeah,
it's not bad. So it'd be 50 tonight then.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if we get to six, yeah. But it should be 50. Should be 50 and 20.
Wow.
Yeah, so just not much other than that. Did we play a round of golf this past week together?
Couple.
Couple?
One together. Yeah, we played Friday morning.
Oh, yeah. You guys played a couple. You guys
dabbled in morning golf.
Yeah, that was our best round of the year, too.
Which then led...
Oh, shit.
Which then led to our pool of... I'm a big afternoon guy. Bronel, you got the short stick. Harv's a morning guy. I'm an afternoon... I'm twilight guy. By default, you had to take the other time slot.
That's
which you typically are.
Yeah, like... I like the 10 a.m. spot, and I also like the 2 p.m. spot, because the 2 p.m. you get bonus holes after. Like, no-brainer.
Yeah, I
you
think
play till 6, and then, oh,
well,
I'm already out here.
You're right, it was a no-brainer for morning golf.
I think we're a little skewed in where we golf compared to other people. Like, a lot of other places, they don't even allow bonus holes, so a lot of guys don't get to dabble in that, but we're speaking from experience. Two, you played all about 6, 6:30. And then no one's on the course. You just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a twilight guy because there's typically less traffic. And Harv's a morning guy because there's typically less traffic. But you have to wake up way earlier.
And you do it before work.
Yeah, you do it before work. I'm too stiff in the morning. Got my roommate's house. I don't have my normal bed.
sleep numbers way. Sleep numbers way off.
Yeah. My sleep number's off. So, yeah, it took me... Well, I had... bogeys on 8 of the first 9 holes.
Yeah.
And I cleaned it up on the back. So, but still. Not a morning guy.
You got warmed up eventually.
Other than that, didn't do a whole lot this past week. I was on holidays. No holidays really happened. That was it. You guys get into much?
Just golf? Yeah, a couple rounds of golf. Had my best round of the year, that morning round. Took the kids camping for a night.
Oh, right. We mentioned that
a lot. Yeah. I knew it was going to happen, but it happened anyways. They got up. They woke up at 5:30 in a full campground. What do you do? You're not letting them out of the tent at 5:30. No chance.
No, not to wake up the other patrons.
So they're yipping. Like, they want out, right? They're like coyotes at night.
The inmates are running the asylum at that point. Yeah.
So we got the devices and let them watch a movie for like half an hour and... Yeah, it was just a disaster, but wasn't that bad, really.
But you did it the right way. You did it similar to us. We wanted to test out our kids camping, so we took them camping to the park here in the city.
Yeah.
We made it till 3 a.m., and then we just packed up and went home.
At 3 a.m.?
3 a.m. in the morning, because our kid woke up crying. He fell off the air mattress onto the hard ground, woke up crying, scream crying, and all of a sudden now you just decide that we can't put you, like, calm you down.
So yeah.
Loaded him up in the car, took him home, and went and picked up all our shit the next morning.
The tent was just still there.
Yeah, it was just there. We just left the tent there all night.
It's actually not bad.
So you were close enough where you could have drove home if it got that bad.
Yes, except we were like 2 hours away from home.
I thought you were at the local
Pike Lake, southwest of Saskatoon, close to Saskatoon, but not close to Moose Jaw.
I thought you were at Buffalo Pound.
No. Anyways, that's enough about me. Harv, what else?
Yeah, 2 rounds of golf. Played pretty good.
Cut your grass.
In our morning round? No, I didn't, because it's been raining.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of rain.
I wanted to cut the grass today. Like, I went out and edged my grass, like, because it's growing, like, all over the sidewalk, and it's just driving me insane. So I edged it. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna cut it this afternoon. It's just a nice, relaxing time. And it pours rain. Now I can't even cut the grass. But so tomorrow, fingers crossed, applesauce. And
have you ever just thought about taking a bunch of practice swings on your grass and cutting it that way? Because you do that on the tee boxes all the time.
Yeah, but never on my own grass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like king of the practice swing tee box divots. Yeah, and so we got a pretty interesting week lined up. We got, I don't know if we want to divulge where we're going this week, but we have we're getting out to do some more course reviews.
Mm-hmm.
We did our first couple in May, end of May. Didn't do any in June, and then we're finally getting July, and then we got a bunch lined up here. So lots of content coming. So
stay tuned on social for those. They're going to be good ones, I think.
Yeah, we got some good ones coming. So, all right, let's get into Jon Rahm. As we just saw on the Golf Channel as we're taping this show, Jon Rahm is now a career best world number one. Well, no shit. Career best.
Who put that graphic on there?
Yeah, some intern. That's who.
Yeah.
So Jon Rahm. And what a weird tournament.
Well, he tried to lose. Got up 8, and then he just said, I'm going to lose this thing.
I'm going to lose this, mother. I agree with the people on Twitter that were saying that this is exactly what Jack Nicklaus wanted. A very hard course where if you could be rewarded but then you could also be heavily punished. But the fact that you could see minus 13 and plus 20 something in the post cut in the same tournament.
Oh, it was so a US bizarre. Open. It was a US Open, but he didn't get shit for it because he's Jack Nicklaus. If it was the USGA putting that tournament on, they would have been roasted all weekend.
That's, that's a great point.
That's a very good
point. All weekend.
Absolutely, they would.
It was just, yeah, it was like, it was weird to see guys struggling so, so much, especially coming off of last week.
Yeah, guys were just shooting 80 like it was hard for them.
Yeah, like DJ went 80-80, and that was before the course got tough.
Yeah. Like, well, and the guys last week, the caddies on the round table last week, were just like, oh, it's going to play way different. They're going to grow out their
oven. I did not believe them.
Yeah, well, I was just more so, I was more so thinking like, what, grass just going to magically grow 2 inches over 1 week? Like, almost looked like it did.
Yeah.
And then they just like refused to water the greens. So they were just like cement.
And then how about that pin sheet for Sunday?
Like, no, everything was four paces off.
All 18 were tucked.
Yeah, it was three or four paces off either side.
That was like the guy who does our pins on the weekends. Yeah. Just puts them in. They're not tucked because you can't really tuck them there, but they're in the worst spots.
Yeah.
I think it was PGA Tour today posted highlights of whatever, highlights of hardness of the week. And it had some of the shots of those guys that hit like perfect shots and they ended up like 35 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
Like Brooks had a pitch shot that landed 2 feet from the hole, hopped twice to about 8 feet, and then rolled down the slope. And he had like 45 feet coming back up the hole.
So
it was so bizarre.
Why didn't he just putt it instead of pitching it?
It was over a bunker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What seemed the weirdest thing to me is
Phil
that
would have set a trend.
Oh, let's not talk about Phil.
Oh, we're talking about him.
We'll get to that. I got a whole list of the weird shots that they hit this week. But it was weird to me is how like the ball, when they were like on certain holes, when they'd hit their approach shots and they'd stay up. But if you were chipping from that spot behind it, you couldn't keep it on the green. Like, it didn't make sense sometimes how they would hit them into the green and they would think that they were going to spin back down and they just stop.
And then they have these impossible putts coming back down the hill.
Yeah, it just didn't. And then someone behind them, like if they were chipping from behind the green, you couldn't stop it. Like, it just, if it was that sloped, how are these balls staying? It just didn't make sense.
I mean, that gets me multiple times on, even just on our greens. It's like, how can I hit a ball here, but yet it won't come back, but yet all I have to do is tap this thing. Why does that happen? All I'm trying to do, I'm trying to play it there so that it comes back. It doesn't come back, and now I'm fucked.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but John Rahm played pretty well throughout.
Yeah, just
the first 3 days he played outstanding.
Yeah, the fact that he had the 8-stroke lead to even play around with and try to blow.
Mm-hmm. And then obviously the chip in on 16.
Oh, you mean when he cheated?
When he took a took a 5 or 4.
Yeah, I know we're going to talk about it, but there is no way he gets that penalty if he won the tournament by 1 stroke.
No chance.
Not a chance. It's just like, okay, well, here's an opportunity. No way.
The ball went down. The ball was oscillating and went down. Like, the lie was not improved whatsoever. I know that's not the rule.
The rule is the ball can't move.
I know.
And the ball moved.
The ball moves like that in that rough all the time on this course. I guarantee it.
The ball didn't move.
Happened dozens of times.
The ball didn't move. He pushed the grass down and the ball, like, turned.
Yeah.
So, moved?
It went down.
No, the grass moved.
But the ball, I agree that it shouldn't have been a penalty because they shouldn't even have zoomed in on that. Like, who gives a shit?
Oh, there's 60 other shots that happened like that on the weekend.
They guaranteed. Did, and the ball moved. So they have to. I don't think they'll ever do that camera again.
I saw that one tweet that was perfect. If you want to do that and penalize those guys, you got to have a camera on every single guy all week with every single shot.
Have a dude taped in a tent.
Zooming in.
Watching all of them.
All the nerds. Get them out there.
What are they doing?
Get the nerds on it. There's no Big Brother for them to looking for nipple slips. So
Big Brother's coming out here soon.
Okay, so
cast was just announced.
Couple weeks of this, I guess.
Yeah,
but
just if you're looking for Nerd Central, go and find Big Brother nipple slips when Big Brother fires up like again.
This, and then
they got them all. Yeah. They're watching those live feeds all the time.
And then Balionis asked him about it right after, and he has the face that's turning into the best meme of the year, maybe.
The monkey meme.
Yeah, that was something. Speaking of John Rahm, we should talk about how he's got a little thin. He's thinned out a little bit.
First thing I noticed, I was like, John Rahm is thin, except in one area.
Yeah, that
big old
wagon
dumper
he's dragging behind himself there.
Yeah, something's. Now we know what it's like. Sometimes you just can't lose that. It's the last thing to go.
Are we playing My Humps again at the end of this
pod or what? My Humps might be the first ever third time song.
Well, when it works, it works. This is where the question I had for you guys comes in.
Oh, perfect.
With John Rahm related stuff. So, John Rahm, I thought this was interesting, is only the 10th European-born
number one in the world.
Can you guys name the 10?
I saw the list earlier today.
Oh, I'll let you have it.
Well, you should maybe try it then.
There's some obvious ones.
Okay, so
Seve.
Yep.
There's only one really tough.
Rory.
Yep.
Justin Rose.
Yep.
Luke Donald.
Yep.
European born?
Yep.
Well, John Rahm, so that's
Langer.
Fun. Yep. There's a couple.
Faldo.
Yeah, the obvious one there.
Yeah.
The reason he's better than Phil.
Phil. Yeah.
How many are we at now?
That's
six?
Seven, I believe.
Seven, I think.
Yeah. Sergio never got there. No.
He did not get there. You're missing three in a row, actually.
Three in a row. How old are they? The oldest ones?
No. Nope. Longer, Seve, Faldo are the oldest ones. Then you're missing three, and then Donald, Rory, Rose, Rahm.
Oh, in that realm.
There's a huge one in here that you guys should be getting.
Yeah, we're
Well, I mean, I'm now three beers deep here, so. I'm starting to lose it. Jeez.
Oh, man, I'm hurting.
Why can't I think? And yeah, because I keep going like into Australia and South Africa.
No, it's Europe only.
Which
has got to be...
Well, think of the Ryder Cup captains.
Yep, there's one of them in there for sure.
Yeah.
The other two are not.
I just can't think of the obvious one. Well, we don't need to be sitting here
super
looking
obvious.
Like
I'll give it to you. So the one I didn't think you'd ever get was Ian Woosnam.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nope. Never.
The super obvious one is Lee Westwood.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was thinking G-Mac the whole time, and I was like, no, it's not G-Mac. It's
I couldn't think of Westwood. The last one is Martin Keimer.
He got to number one.
Yeah,
yep.
The year that he won the players in the U.S. Open.
Right.
But yeah.
So I never thought he got to number one, though.
Yeah, we're idiots. Well, stop listening. Might as well turn it off now.
7 out of 10?
Well, I mean, we missed Cameron Westwood.
Rahm was one of the 10, but...
I almost blurted out...
The fact you didn't get Westwood is a bit of a black eye on this podcast.
Yes. Considering I was going to say G-Mac, and Westwood's way more obvious than G-Mac.
Got Luke Donald, though.
Yep. That's a good one.
And Keimer's pretty bad to not get. Woosnam should have been the only miss.
Back to the tournament. Next guy we should talk about is Mac Hughes, probably.
Yes.
T6.
Unbelievable.
Into the U.S. Open.
That's
just
huge,
like
so
that.
Huge.
Yeah.
Guys, so many different
good,
things.
That's
like
for sure.
Yeah.
His latest string is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like the guy is on absolute fire. He's on a Nick Taylor run.
Yeah.
And Nick Taylor's now having his.
He's having
little
a tough
bit of
time
a low,
now.
Yeah. But still. Like how long until Mac wins a tournament? This week? Is he in the tournament?
No, he's not.
So not this week.
He actually was in, then withdrew.
Because he got in the U.S. Open. He wants to party.
Probably,
yep.
He earned it.
Now he's playing next week, and then the U.S. Open's the week after that, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. The other Canadians, Connors with a sneaky T22, Hadwin T54, 9 over Sunday. And then Nick missed the cut, like you said.
Yep.
We can talk about Tony Finau now, or?
What about him?
The tank job?
Steady.
The dude wipes?
The Puerto Rico curse is alive.
I'm just starting to think he just doesn't have it to close.
He's got to be a Sunday come from behind victory?
Yeah.
He's only got one win, and it's the Puerto Rico. And then.
Yeah, an off-week tournament.
Everyone knows when you win that, your career dies.
Yeah. What is it, Martin Trainer?
No one's ever won another tournament after they've won the Puerto Rico
one. Yeah, the one guy won that one again.
Yes. Oh, my bad.
That's
only
thing.
Only tournament you can win.
Yeah.
What else? I had a bunch of stuff here. I guess we talked about the course a little bit. Bryson. We got to talk about that 10 he made.
Oh, yeah. That should have been the top story, maybe.
I was unbelievable. Really, I thought that was Friday.
You watched that live, didn't you?
Yeah. I flipped the TV on right as this was happening. I'm like, what is he doing over here? And it's like, oh, it looks like he's dropping. He hit it in the hazard. He's dropping it. Then he hits it into the houses, redrops it, hits the exact same shot into the houses again.
And then the third one was almost the same shot again.
Hit the cart path. He did just hit it worse. Otherwise, yeah, it was going in the exact same place.
Yeah.
Hit
and Nicholas said he's going to tin cup this.
Yeah.
Right on the air.
I'm really
hate to see it.
I would love to have known what would have happened if that hole didn't happen. Like, I think he might win the tournament. Because wasn't he was 3 under at that time? And he finished at 3 over?
He finished like 5 over.
Yeah. 5 over? Well, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, a quintuple.
Quintuple.
Yeah, but so, also they were saying that he was like tamping down the grass to like improve his lie.
Yeah.
But what before I'm, he dropped.
But what I'm getting at is but like, he, does that, he like, had that one bad hole.
Mm-hmm.
And give him two.
But he could have had rounds. A weekend, yep.
Yeah, he could have had a weekend. I just think that he's
Schauffele was 8. Schauffele was 8 over on Thursday and finished like T13.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. I mean, we'll get to that.
I mean, you guys made fun of me for taking him.
I made more of the other two.
When I went back to listen to the bet, I made some heavy fun of you. I'm like, you could have got him with your second.
Heavy fun.
He was the highest placed guy.
We just get to talk about filling this stupid putt already. Like, what is this guy doing?
What stupid fill that you want to talk about first? That or the layup on the par three or the putt, then the chip?
The layup on 16 is worse than the putt in my mind.
Yeah. No way. That's 78 yards. 78 yards, and he pulls putter.
And then it didn't get there, and he and had to chip the next
one. He flopped the next one.
Yeah, and then he flops the next one, but the mic catches him saying, I pictured that going differently in my head.
He's such an idiot.
Just out for content. He's just
that's all he is now. Yeah. He's just the content gimmick machine. He puts the Yeti mug down with the logo on it.
But he was such an early tee time that it was just like, well, this Golf Central pregame will pick this up, but not the actual broadcast.
And he changed his putting stroke where he like double clutches after he pulls it back, like back and then like
right.
Like
he just it's a stall now.
Pitcher. Cueto? No.
Oh yeah.
Yes. It's like little double clutch Phil Mickelson putting style.
Nice. I like that reference.
Because he said he was turning his face or something, so it keeps him flat.
Yeah, whatever.
Going back.
Sure, whatever it is.
Yeah. But maybe, I'm thinking the PGA was like, oh, Bryson missed the cut. We need a content machine for the weekend.
Phil, start.
You're up, Phil.
I'm going to need you to lay up on this. You're way out of it, man. That guy's an idiot.
And then I saw Bones was on Fitzy's bag this week.
Mm-hmm. And he had a great Sunday.
Yep.
Best Sunday.
Yep. Is that it, Harv?
Oh, I got tons more stuff. Ryan Palmer, that friggin' shot he hit on 15 was—he was gonna win that tournament, and then he hit that second shot on 15.
Yeah, that the best part of the entire tournament was that volunteer not seeing it. It flew. It almost hit him in the head.
He just gives you the old. I don't know. His shot from there, like that shot, was almost impossible.
Oh yeah,
like it was just a wall.
He actually did pretty well with it, and then just rolled all the way off.
Yeah.
I mean, still pretty solid week for him because he hasn't been very good lately.
Well, and a lot of people were giving him a hard time about the only reason why he's got 2 years exemption is because he
won the Zurich with Rom.
Yeah, hitched his wagon to
Rom.
That
was another thing I wanted to bring up.
So
I think the Zurich Classic should change that. It should be the best guy and the worst guy or a team.
Yeah, like in the tournament. World rankings?
Yep.
World rankings. Like, here's the world rankings in the tournament, and they auto-pair them.
Yep. Mm.
That's a smart idea. That being said, Ryan Palmer was the one in Hawaii that almost beat Brennan Todd, right? Because I think
a couple times.
Because this came up again, and Palmer's not that bad of a player. Nope. He got
shat on. The
worst
thing about him is that he's sponsored by Janiking, like a janitorial service.
Yeah, and his hat's Unisys or whatever.
Yeah, like he has the worst sponsors.
Doesn't he dominate at that one Texas tournament all the time too?
Yes,
because he's from down there. Yeah.
Yeah, big Texas
hits a lot of fairways. He had that streak or whatever of like
right
59 fairways in a row or something like that.
Right,
but yeah, that's he was winning. I had no doubt in my mind he was absolutely winning that tournament if he doesn't hit that terrible shot on 15.
He was
like
hot.
Rom was the wheels were teetering a little bit.
Until he chipped in.
Probably doesn't do that if Palmer makes birdie on 15.
He might not do it if he didn't cheat.
That's a good point.
I took the words out of Har's mouth
there. That's a very good point.
Someone had to say it.
Berger's streak ended this week. That was another thing I had. Of under par rounds, 32 or whatever.
Yes, that was bound to end this weekend or this week.
Oh, yeah. Brooks Koepka sucks. That's all I wrote down.
Yeah.
That was your note?
That was my note. And now the injury excuses are coming from that guy.
Yeah.
What about Tiger?
I wrote down underwhelming return.
Tiger did.
He didn't play that bad, though.
The highlights that I watched of Tiger, especially, I watched a lot of Tiger's Thursday. And it was like he was sore.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing that thing that he does where he can't even reach into the cup to get his ball. It's all
oh God! And then he said he's old, and he just can't.
How old a lot is of he? People were sad with
43?
That.
43, 42.
Tell me that, yeah.
Okay.
How old later. Is Phil? 49, 50.
Just turned 50. Remember?
Yeah, but that's what I'm getting at is, I mean, Tiger swings a lot more violent, obviously, and that's what's caused all this, but. At the same time, like, you're 7 years younger than Phil, and you don't see Phil complaining. You just got in shape.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of bad people in bad shape, Jason Day had a pretty good week, considering by, like, Sunday afternoon, he was, like, crawling to the holes and picking his ball out because he couldn't bend over.
Yeah, he looked sore, too, but he played really well. And, I mean, he's the guy that lives at Muirfield
Beach. Yeah, he's a member there.
Yeah, so.
So he should.
Knows his way around that place. And then they immediately, you got on there that they immediately tore up some of the holes that they're working on?
I had it on the course. For course notes, I said this is the best course. It just is. Don't at me. I liked how tough it was, and they've already ripped it up. Like
making it better.
Making it better or harder. But if you were like a member there, wouldn't you be ticked off?
You don't get to play it.
Yeah. Like, I can't see that membership being cheap.
I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Do they have additional holes that they could get in?
Maybe. They must. They have to. Yeah.
And how about that hard old Jack just starting it
right immediately?
Yeah.
Well, he did it all for the cameras.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
We don't have
I'm going to need you to work late on Sunday. Tearing up a green.
I'm going to need you to take two of the seven cameras that we have and focus on us ripping up the greens.
That and I don't know. I found it being in the landscape business myself. They were just stripping those greens and just throwing them all willy nilly into a pile. Like, keep those things rolled.
I'll take that.
Yeah,
they'd almost have it like numbered, like when they do those like log cabins.
Yeah,
like then you just put the puzzle back together at the end.
Brunel's got he's got a seat right here from the Montreal Forum.
That's right. Sell,
this was a strip of sod from 16 at Muirfield Village in 2020. Guys just got in the corner of just growing mold.
Someone would buy that. Oh, 100%. Sure. Put it under glass or something.
Yeah, you're looking at one.
Yeah.
Shipping cost is more than what I bought it for. Yeah. And I'd grow mold. Or maybe I'd compost it. Yeah, that compost pile over there? Muirfield Village.
Hole 13.
Wow. Hole 13.
That's all I had. Shots of the week, I guess.
I'm going with the chip in, obviously. I mean, it was electric. Did you hear all the fans cheering?
No.
They would have been.
There was so many, like, I don't know. There were so many flop shots at this course. That's what I really enjoyed, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Spieth was in. Rory hit a couple there, especially when he dunked him in the water a bunch of times. But
well, it was next to impossible to get any back-of-the-ball contact to check anything. And the greens were so fast, the only way you could do anything with it was to go straight up in the air and hope that it lands as soft as possible.
So my shot of the week is actually that Justin Rose one that went like 90 feet up and 15 feet forward. Like that's, I mean, he was on a severe uphill lie on the edge of the bunker, but still that's pretty impressive.
He had a 20-foot chip shot and he flopped it to about 15 feet.
Yeah,
I mean, he only got 5 feet closer.
Yeah, but it went 90 feet in the air.
Yeah.
Should have the shot tracer on that.
Yeah. Now, and sounds funny when you say it, but if he would have hit it as a normal chip shot, he probably would have been 40 feet away.
Off the green into the bunker on the other side.
Like it was the only option he had. I got dude wipes.
Dude wipes, yeah.
Tony.
Yeah. Tony.
He had a 4-shot lead on Saturday.
Four-shot lead into a, what, he was down six after that round? Because Rahm had a four-shot lead going into Sunday.
Yeah, something like that.
I think it was to six down three. Or something.
Yep.
But, well, because he wasn't in the final group and Palmer was four down heading into Sunday, so he was at least four down. I think it was six.
Rahm birdied four in a row on Saturday.
But that's what I mean. Like, it was just such a weird tournament where guys could be so low, or one guy.
Yeah, and then
so many other guys.
Everyone thought Patrick Reed was going to come from behind and think about
winning. Shot five under on Sunday is like, oh my God.
No, he didn't. He was five under at one point.
Yeah.
Ended up like even
birthdays?
Or something.
I just got the one. Sir Nick Faldo.
Mm. No, we had some wrestling birthdays in there.
No, the challenge, but I didn't include.
Oh, CT.
Thank you.
CT's birthday.
Thank you.
You had another challenge birthday.
Theo.
Oh, Theo too.
Oh my God.
Theo.
Next.
Theo made the pot.
News.
I don't think there's one any aces. Theo.
No aces, no.
Okay, news.
Quick hits or news?
Quick hits, and then we'll just kind of go. They're not really news. They're more just like kind of talking.
Just need to know if I need to say next or not.
Yeah, start with next here, right off the bat. PGA announced 8 tournament mini series for smaller circuits. So like Latino Tour and some of the other mini tours.
But not the Mackenzie Tour because they're doing their Canada Life Series.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, just the 4 tourneys.
So yeah, that's it for that one.
Next. I
mean, good, yeah. Lexi Thompson finished T7 in a mini tour event, but it was a men's mini tour event.
Yep.
Wow.
So.
Meanwhile, is this a tangent into that idiot?
Yes, that's where I was going to go with that. Like,
so T7... in a mini tour event, and
so she would have had to play men's rules, I would imagine. Yeah.
And what the comment was,
four handicap
would win
all the time on the LPGA tour because the tees are up and they can hit it
and that mini
farther.
And that mini tour event was not four handicaps.
No, like, you wouldn't think so.
Those are plus handicaps.
Yeah, scratch at the very least.
Yeah, and she's T7.
Yep.
That guy was getting roasted. We talked about that last week, though.
Right? Yeah, we did.
That should tangent right into the Rahm comment.
We're getting into the scramble
thing?
We can
talk into that one. That's one of the talking points, yeah. Would 4 scratch golfers...
break 80.
Break 80 in a best ball, so just best score on the hole at Muirfield Village in this.
Whoa, so best ball or scramble?
No. Harv's trying to...
No, it was 80 in best ball.
He said a scramble.
He meant best ball.
Best ball. But he said a scramble, and so all of the fire that was happening on Twitter was scramble talk.
Yeah, but I'm just asking the question.
The best ball, they don't break 80. The scramble, they definitely do. That's my thought.
The scramble, they break 72.
The scramble, they're under par for sure.
100%.
Yes. Yeah. Four scratch golfers anywhere are under par.
Automatically.
For sure.
Automatically.
I don't care how long the course is. I don't care how hard the course is. They're birdieing the four par fives automatically.
And probably
you're not making many bogeys.
Probably not making four.
And you're probably going to birdie a couple other holes.
Yeah. Now,
and
I think best ball,
they're breaking 80. It might be 79, but they're breaking 80.
I think they're also breaking 80.
Be close.
Like, I think you got four really good golfers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of them's parring every hole.
I would think so.
Even with these, like, I
and
think
if you get a if you got a couple guys with bogeys on a hole, there's probably going to be a birdie somewhere too.
Yeah, right? I don't know.
I don't know if they're making a birdie, but I think they're at least
getting... I think they're making one or two birdies.
I think they're at least getting 12 pars or 11 pars.
Yeah, I guess it really comes down to, do you think that the guy that shot under par... Oh, I guess, no, it's 80. Yeah, I think that's fine. Because I'm more thinking, like, I'm going back to the under par thing. But four scratch golfers, best ball 80... I think they do that easy.
Because, like, they're definitely not... Four guys aren't doubling the same hole. So, you're not getting a double. So, it's can they make 11 pars?
Yeah, and I think four chances.
Absolutely.
4 chances to make 11 pars, yeah.
Now, what do you think our regular group would get in a scramble and a best ball?
Well, scramble, we're going to... I don't think we make a par in scramble.
Oh, yeah, we would. Absolutely, we make some pars.
I watched that tournament.
I think we'd be tough to break 80 in a scramble.
We'd be in the low 80s, I would say.
Yeah. 80 in a scramble, he said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In low 80s in a scramble. Ball, yeah. I think at best we're 90. I think we're bogeying every single hole.
Yes. I don't think there's a single par in
maybe
best
ball. One par. Maybe you're 89. Maybe. Oh,
there's going to be some holes where there's no bogeys, I bet.
Doubles, you're talking.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think we break 90 in best ball, and I think we might break 80 in scramble.
In those conditions.
The putting is where you have a huge advantage in the scramble because you just get to see the line, the weight, everything.
Yeah,
three guys know what it does.
I'm not sure we get there in regulation, though. That's the problem.
Well, I mean,
so we're bogeying.
Even if you have a 15-footer for par, you're probably going to make it with four guys. You got a good chance to make it. The greens run true.
That's a good point. That's a good, really good point. I can't even remember the last time I played on greens that were like legitimate. Yeah, and
a few of us are pretty good putters. So.
What's that?
A few of us are pretty good putters.
Yeah, because we got spiders.
That's right. Next. Next, anyone want to
say? Oh, that was not a quick hit. Nope.
That's the best part of them. Score Golf released their top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I thought it was a little
top
weird.
100, but
top 100, but the top 10 was posted.
Finally,
out.
Yep.
So, I mean, obviously, one is going to be one forever.
Cliffs is that might be one for the rest of our lives.
Yep.
You guys play it before?
Fuck off. But other than that, like, why is Banff on there? Like, why is that top 10?
Mm. I think it's just the scenery more than anything.
But still, I don't know. I mean,
like
think
you said today, they're trying to get some Western.
Yeah, but there's better stuff options in there than that. I don't know.
I think that one strictly because similar to Cliffs, like Cabot Cliffs is unbelievable because of where it is.
Yeah, but there's
like, I mean, that course is unbelievable.
Like Pebble Beach ain't that great if it ain't at that spot.
So you have to factor that in, right? Yeah. So when you're at Banff Springs, like it is literally mountains everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why it's awesome. And I guarantee you someone that comes from a place that does not have mountains goes to that place and they're just like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, but there's so many courses right around Banff Springs that are as good.
Fair.
Better value, better bang for your buck.
Well, Kananaskis was like 18 or something, I think. They were in the top 20.
Oh, and I guess Jasper's ahead of Banff, right?
They were three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's all those ones in like Canmore and whatnot. But
the National was two and St. George's was four, I think.
Yeah.
And Hamilton then Banff five and then Hamilton six or seven.
And Cabot Links was in there too.
Oh, right.
Cabot Links is three.
Yeah, I think.
They're one and three, aren't they?
One and five, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think Hamilton should have been higher.
Is this a good time to bring up that my son is playing Tiger Woods on the Wii? I think I brought this up a few, like 10 episodes ago. He shot 24 on the front of Banff Springs yesterday.
It's getting better. Maybe move the tees back a bit for him.
Yeah.
It's gettable.
Best part is, and this was a very proud moment of mine, he had a hole in one on the fifth or whatever, par three. But then on like hole eight, he's like, Dad, watch this double eagle, he says. As he's swinging with his second shot on the par five, all of a sudden it starts doing the Tiger. Before he even hit it, he called a shot, double eagle.
And it went in.
Yeah, it went in.
Like, did he have to spin it in or anything? It just went
in. No, he just hits it. He has no idea what he's doing.
Oh.
He's six. I have no idea how a six-year-old can shoot 24 on Banff. Like, it's got to be.
He obviously does have an idea what he's doing.
Yeah, it's the easiest setting ever, but it makes no sense to me because if I play that, there's no way I'm getting 24.
No.
Like, it was unbelievable. I was just watching him.
You might have to play him in match play.
That's not a bad idea. That's content right there.
Yeah. Next.
That's pretty good. Next. TPC San Antonio. Corn Ferry Tour event. Davis Riley wins. Terrible trophy. Don't even need to talk about it. It's just bad.
Mm.
Big point on that one, obviously. Pendrith tied for second.
Almost locked up.
Oh, he's 100% locked up.
It's a shortened season there, too, so it's got
to
be.
He's third. Up. He's up to third now, and he's like 600 points ahead of 26. Like, they ain't catching him.
No.
He's almost locked to get into the U.S. Open.
Yeah, because it's top five, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and
might have to get him back on the pod.
And he's up to 190th in the world, which is ahead of Sloan, Gliggs, and Hearn.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. That's very crazy.
Yeah, how can you not be on tour and be ahead of guys that are on tour?
Who are regularly playing on tour.
And that have cards.
Yeah.
Like Sloan has his card.
Yeah, it's not like the lad who hasn't played in forever.
Yeah.
It makes sense that...
Yeah. Gliggs has his card.
Yeah. And
Hearn kind of does. I think he does, yeah.
Because then you get in on top 25.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, because then he hit that shot.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all three of those guys are somehow worse than him, even though they've earned their way onto the big tour.
Always been weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But yeah, next.
Well, the fact that John Rahm is number one in the world right now is...
career best.
All you need to know about the world ranks. He's been good, but should he be number one? I don't know.
Yeah. He's been consistent.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Go on. Next.
The Eurobank Open on the Euro Tour winner, Joel Stalter. Where do you think that guy's from?
Stalter? Yeah. Switzerland.
Austria.
France.
Oh.
Yes. That was my next guess.
Maybe it's Stalte. I don't know.
Must be.
Yeah, I don't think you pronounce it right, so how are we supposed to know?
I think it's actually Joel, too, but I didn't want to give it away.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Unbelievable course. This European Tour just doing what they do. Just better courses.
All they do.
And well, they only got
six
week.
Tournaments. Except for this week, yeah.
Right? But six tournaments?
I don't know. But I was wondering, like, why is there no big names in this? Like, it's the European Tour. It's not the Challenge Tour or whatever.
Why? But
it's because the prize money is 1/10 of what it usually is.
Oh, yeah. There's some names playing this week, though. Westwood and Pepperell are playing this week.
Eddie Pep.
Dietrich.
Eddie Pep with a great tweet. This Muirfield's playing like a major. You know how I know? Because I'm watching it on TV.
On the weekend, yeah.
Next.
And then they had, well, just one last thing. They did that driver off the deck challenge video.
Oh, I forgot to watch that.
European Tour.
Heard rules. It was good.
It was awesome. That Marcus Armitage, we have to get him on. The Bullet, like his voice is just, guy's a clown. Like,
if you have the name The Bullet, you're welcome to come on our
pod. I'll reach out to him and see if we can get him on
next
week.
Won. He hit driver from 300 yards to 5 feet over the water. Like, it's unbelievable.
Noted.
They're all Callaway guys, too.
I hate how good they are.
A couple of the other things that I wanted to bring up here, kind of talk about a few, but... top three milkshakes I was going to ask you guys from the options at the Memorial. So the options were vanilla, strawberry, chocolate, peanut butter, malt, Oreo, Buckeye, Snickers, peanut butter cup, banana, caramel, Twix, Butterfinger, or M&M. What would be your top three?
What the hell's Buckeye, for one?
I don't know.
I'm not picking Buckeye State, but...
Yeah.
I don't think I could do a peanut butter milkshake as much as I like peanut butter. I would probably just go chocolate, vanilla, Oreo.
That's your top three?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going vanilla one, peanut butter two, caramel three.
You are peanut butter, hey? Yeah. I don't think that'd be a good milkshake.
But vanilla is the best one.
A good vanilla milkshake.
Is the best.
It's the best.
Mm-hmm. It's Oreo one.
Mm-hmm. See?
Mm.
Got it.
Chocolate two.
Okay.
Banana three.
Ooh, for your kids or
no? I love drinking. I love
it over there. Was that penicillin?
That's exactly it. I love that fake banana flavor. It's the best.
A little penicillin.
I could do chocolate banana mixed.
That makes no sense.
Or peanut butter banana.
Double checking wasn't an option.
Yeah, maybe that's the Buckeye.
Yeah, what is the Buckeye?
Quick Google. Yeah. That gets me to my top five though.
Oh wow!
Ooh, right into
it. Nice segues tonight, Harv.
Yeah, not bad. Prep. Top five ice cream treats.
Okay.
Based on milkshakes. Number five, Blizzard.
Oh, that's five.
Dairy Queen.
You know why it's five? Because they have too many shitty options.
Yeah, well,
they've diluted the pool.
I only ever get two or three different ones.
So. Yeah, I know, but there's all those
options.
Peanut
butter cup score, the best kind.
Yeah, score is unreal.
Picking your teeth for days.
Yeah, that's the best. That is the best part about score. Yeah. Is that you have it in your teeth an hour later and you're like, and you pick it and you can't get it with your tongue. And then your tongue gets sore because you can't get it out.
It lasts all night.
Yeah, and then you just start picking it with your finger and then you're just like looking at it, almost like a booger.
Look at it.
Okay. Oh, well, you're winning me over on that. I never had a score once.
Well, you tell me you eat it without looking at it?
Get this guy another beer, Harv.
He's getting loose. Number four. Drumsticks.
Yes. I hate when peanuts spill everywhere, though.
That they're a bit of a tough eat sometimes.
Yeah.
Does that mean Oreo ice cream sandwich is coming?
No.
Okay.
Number three, sundaes.
Ooh.
Ooh. I don't think a sundae's up there.
Oh, it's up there.
No.
Just.
I like the previous two better than the Sunday so far.
Yep. I'll give you that.
Oh, wait till your number two, dip cone.
Oh.
A dipped cone?
Those are the best.
Vanilla, like a straight up vanilla cone is good.
Vanilla cone dipped in the chocolate. It's the best.
No, that's the worst. I don't, we don't need the worst. You like a chocolate crust around it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's stupid.
I don't like that.
No, not
texture.
One
you guys are foolish. And number one, it's the best one. I don't ice care cream what sandwich. You guys say. No, ice cream cake.
Like DQ ice cream cake?
Yeah. Well,
with the chocolate crunch and
everything.
Yeah, DQ ice cream cake's number one.
It's overrated.
But you don't have ice cream sandwich on there, especially not an Oreo ice cream sandwich.
Well, the ice cream sandwich is my honorable mentions.
Okay.
Along with milkshakes and dilly bars because they're like a dip cone.
Okay. It's the same thing, yep.
And a float.
I love a float. That'd be my number one, I think.
So this was frozen treats, right?
Ice cream treats.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Phew. So I was like, how does this guy have popsicles and freezies on here?
A Coke float or
freezies
a Dr. Pepper.
Freezies are terrible. They'll never make any less they have.
A Coke float or a Dr. Pepper float is next level stuff.
I like it right. Orange.
Orange is also good.
Cream soda.
Nope.
Cream soda is the bottom one pop.
Yeah. Floats are good, but you run the risk of the curdled float, which just backfires on you.
I think I've probably
got to do it right.
Like I've probably only had 10 floats in my life, but
that's fair.
They're okay.
Root beer too is another one. Pretty good.
Yeah. Root beer's the bottom two pop.
Cream soda's the worst, and root beer second worst.
Correct.
Dr. Pepper floats are good.
Yep.
Yeah. Dr. Pepper and Coke and orange. That's
Solid.
Not Pepsi, Coke either.
Ice cream sandwich, I think, is up there. I think a good Blizzard is probably number one for me. I'm a spoon guy. Like a good, you want to hear an all-time troll comment, which isn't a troll comment. My favorite two hard ice cream flavors, Tiger and mint chocolate chip.
Those are the stupidest things I've ever heard. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Those are the two that I get.
the Tiger even exists.
Yeah.
Is a troll.
I hate black licorice. Love Tiger. Riddle me this.
I hate mint and chocolate too.
Hard ice cream all together is stupid.
Nope. Get out.
No, it's not.
Get out of this. Get out of this.
Like in a bowl or on a cone? Like in a waffle cone?
Oh, no one gets a cone. You ask for it in a bowl.
It's not worth it.
There's so many
better options. It's not worth it at an ice cream place.
Yeah. As soon as you guys leave tonight, I'm making a Coke float.
Really?
Yeah, staying up till like 1 in the morning because I'm just going to be wired.
Just watching like R-rated movies when you're 12.
Speaking of which, Gentleman's on Netflix.
Yeah.
What else you got for us?
We got any more news or are we into picks?
I had one other thing. So like, why is everyone just not willing to admit that Tiger's just done?
He's not done. He won the Masters last year.
He doesn't have it anymore.
What?
He hasn't been playing for one.
Oh, he was very underwhelming this week. Is all I'm saying.
You can't make conclusions based on that week.
I'm just saying there was so much stuff. Like
no idea what he's talking about.
There was no that you didn't let me finish. There was so many tweets and stuff about people being like, "Is Tiger going to ride into the sunset?" And they're like, "No, we can't. He can't leave the game. He's got to be here forever." And blah 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 blah. Like what? Like sooner or later, Father Time catches up to everyone. It's catching up to him.
Yes, I just think that's a little. See, here's the problem I have, and this is the thing that I'm trying to figure it out. I made fun of him earlier a little bit, saying that Phil didn't have to worry about it, and Bernhard Langer, all these guys that can play for a long period of time, don't just fall off a cliff like Tiger. But then I got to thinking about myself. My back hurts. Like I've got to the point where I've not taken care of myself and my back is sore.
My back hurts. My back hurts. My back hurts.
And so it's like to the point where I could see how a bad back actually hurts a guy on the golf course. But at the same time, I also think like I just take a bunch of a leave before we go and play and I feel fine.
Yeah. Smoke a bunch of dope. Like, do something. Whatever.
Does that work? Is that how it works? Well, can you not just medicate and just feel better?
Well, I think he had a pretty big prescription pill addiction there for a while, so maybe he tries to avoid those.
Yes, that might be it.
But
he's only
The only thing I can think of is like Jack won a major at 46, mm-hmm. so maybe they're once he turns 47, they'll just let him go. But like the amount of people that are just clinging to this,
like there's no chance this guy's going to play on the senior tour ever.
No,
because his body isn't even going to make it that long.
I mean,
but he's made way too much money. He doesn't even want to.
Well, yeah, so is Phil.
Yeah, but Phil's, well,
what's way too much money? They've all made, like, anyone that can play on the senior tour almost has made way too much money.
I mean, hasn't he won, like, three times as much as Phil?
Yeah, I know, but still, Phil's made way too much, too.
But I mean, like there's Phil money,
yeah,
and then times it by three, yeah, and that might be what.
Oh, I know.
And I'm not saying Phil's going to play another level all the time, but he's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Probably for side games.
I think, I don't know, I think Phil likes golf more than Tiger does.
I think I agree with you.
Now,
I think Phil just likes to golf.
Now he does, for sure.
Oh, yeah, now
Prime, he didn't.
I will say, too, that part of, I've been a Tiger guy forever. Love Tiger. But it almost feels like more people, since he's kind of come back, more people are on him. And almost has lost a little bit of luster. Plus the fact that he's just not the same. He doesn't look like the same guy. He doesn't give off the same reason why you love him. Plus we've got older.
He's no longer intimidating. He no longer.
Now, that being said, last year's Masters was unbelievable to watch.
Yes, but it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same step on your neck, beat the piss out of you. You have no chance. It was just a regular golf tournament that Tiger Woods won.
Yeah. So there is, even just this week, just kind of not, it just doesn't feel the same watching him.
But hey, conditions are tough.
I had to get that in.
It's a thing. It's hard to judge it off this week.
Yeah, fair.
DJ's the betting favorite to win this week at the 3M. 80. Shot 80-80.
I better get these beers in if I'm going to finish this.
I got one last one. I don't know if we want to, I don't know how deep we want to go into this, but it's been a bit of a, it's come up a few times in some of our rounds at the local course, just these rules. Do we want to get into the local rules, cart paths only?
No, I don't think we do.
No, okay. Okay, we can move on.
I don't want to get fired up about it, and I got Coke float in my mind now.
Yeah, and before you clean up this, wrap it up to get to picks. One other quick hitter we got to talk about is Martin Trainer's caddy, Aaron Crawford, the Canadian.
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
Oh.
But yeah.
You got it? So he's a caddy, also a professional golfer.
Mm-hmm.
Monday qualified today
for
the 3M Open.
For the 3M Open.
Spoiler alert, he might be on the podcast coming up.
He said he was going to, you try to get him on tonight, but he said tomorrow would work better.
Yeah, so.
Tough one.
We're just going to push that into next week and see how his experience went. No sense talking about it tomorrow if it can't be on this week's pod. It'll be on next week's pod.
Yeah, hopefully talking about his T17 finish or something like that.
What if he makes the cut?
Never know.
Whew.
That'd be something.
It'll be an electric pod next
week. He's hot right now. Maybe he's like
Connors.
Is it
going to be a very somber pod or a very electric pod? I mean, he's probably going to be riding that high either way.
I mean, it's not going to be PGA Tour. Tom Lovelady second time around somber, but...
we'll find out.
Pick recap.
Let's go.
I can't stress enough the horse shit of the last 2 weeks that I've endured here.
Guy just can't win.
First of all,
I should be tied for second, and John Rahm screwed me last week, and I'm just jinxed. The two guys that I had horses that were 9th and 12th going into Sunday had the second and third worst rounds of the day.
Rory and
Cantlay.
Yeah, Cantlay doubled 16 and bogeyed.
They didn't play well for you.
No.
Doubled 16, bogeyed 17 for you to lose. Cantlay.
Yeah, and then par 18, yeah.
Yeah.
Bogeyed that's bogey on 17, which I was like, okay, hit the fairways 95 yards out.
Yeah.
Then it's I'm watching on, because they're not showing him because he's terrible. So I'm watching on the shot tracker. Then it's hit second shot to 40 feet from 95 yards. And then I'm like, okay, two putt. Hits third shot to 15 feet. Yeah. I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And then, of course, he misses that and bogeys and I lose. But anyways.
Also, if you guys would have let me switch Hovland to Reed, I would have cleaned your guys' clocks, which you should have let me do. Plus, I probably should have taken John Rahm, which I always take.
We were pretty quick on the trigger to tell you no. I'll give you that.
Yeah. I had last pick.
And you didn't sell it good enough.
I had last pick, and the pod was still going.
Yeah, but you already went through. You didn't want to take. You couldn't take him with your last pick. You had already picked Hovland on the way through.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was the last pick of the top 50 guys.
Okay.
Huh. Gray area for sure.
That's where you live, bud. But hey, anyways, I'll take the win. We are. Brunel is now at 11 points. Matty B, 13. Harv, 5. Randy, 4.
It's a tight battle down there.
A couple tight battles, actually. Yep. Anyways, you had Xander, who was terrible.
Pull the audio clip. Somebody grab it.
No, I'm not doing it.
Pull it. But what?
You guys laughed at me for taking him.
We did, yes.
And I was going to bet him that Xander would finish ahead of JT. That was going to also be the bet.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, 13th.
I'll be drinking.
Victor Hovland, 48. And Joaquin Niemann miscut 75 for 45 average. Good week.
Ouch.
I had Rory 32nd, Cantlay 32nd, Poulter miscut 75 for a 46 average. Lose by one.
Yeah.
Fuck. Cantlay. Cantley's done again. That guy's benched.
Yeah.
Anyways, why did I even take him this week again after I didn't win last week with him? It's just not my year.
He like does well here.
Matty B, Bryson miscut, Doc Redman miscut, JT 18th for a 56 average.
Yikes.
Randy, Brooks Koepka 62nd, Paul Casey miscut, Graham McDowell miscut for a 71
average. Oh, that team had so much promise,
too. I know, yeah. But anyways.
Get him out of the picks. All right, 3M open this week.
Yeah, I'm just looking through some picks here. That's why I'm so quiet.
We got four Canadians playing now that Crawford is qualified. Sloan, Hearn, and Gliggs. So the kind of the heavy hitters are taking the week off. Wolf is the defending champ, I believe.
Correct.
And DJ is the betting favorite at 10-1.
Neither of them are number one in the power rankings.
Nope.
Yeah, very interesting.
So
fun fact, if you were curious, Erik van Rooyen was 22nd last week.
Yep.
I knew that, yeah.
He made a bunch of birdies on the weekend.
Tied with Dylan Fratelli, the other South African pod guest.
I think
on my DK team currently.
I thought I read somewhere EVR is very close to locking up his...
Yeah, close. He's getting close. Yeah.
Yep. That 22 will help big time.
Yep.
So who's picking first? Oh, yeah, Bruno.
I just realized we forgot to mention how awkward the Rahm-Jack Nicklaus exchange was after you finished.
Oh yeah, I had a bunch of stuff on Jack. He was awkward all week. He was just chirping Bryson the entire time.
Yep.
Thursday, Friday.
Doesn't like his
hates
stick.
Bryson.
Yeah. Yep. There was this whole thing where he was talking about how Tiger was such an innovator and so creative and thinking outside the box of how to change the game. And then it like cuts to him being like, what's Bryson doing here?
Yeah. Like, it's the same, isn't it?
Yeah, he was just chirping him. And then he tried to jinx hard on John Rahm, saying he already picked him to win Saturday evening there. But
and then he said he was going to shake his hand, and then he gave him the fist bump twice.
And that whole thing, like John Rahm tried to make a joke that Jack didn't get, then Jack tried to make a joke that John Rahm didn't get. It was just terrible.
Just a disaster.
It lasted too long. Okay, picks for the 3M. I'm first. I'm taking Harris English. He's got 9 top 20s this season. T13 last week at the Memorial.
Okay. So you're telling me he's due to stink?
Probably.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Or he's the safest pick there is.
Oh, I'm so torn on all these picks, but I'm
going to take DJ. He's your guy.
I don't know who I'm going.
Taking DJ.
He's your guy.
Taking DJ? I'm going to take Brooks.
Wow. Not even in the ranks. I was going to take him, actually.
He's not even in the power rankings?
I was going to take him as my third. I was going to try to grease him as my third.
He's not in the power rankings.
Nope.
Doesn't even make sense.
Real quick.
So, I'm going to take the defending champ.
Matt Wolf.
I thought I was going to sneak him.
Matty Wolf.
Okay. Harv?
I'm going to take... Tommy Fleetwood.
Ah, thought he might get back.
Yeah, he's had a bit of a break, but before the break, he was fire.
Yeah. Well, I guess that leaves me with Some may call him Mr. Puerto Rico.
Tony.
I'm going to take him.
Hey, maybe he'll come from behind and win this week.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I got to. I got to.
Yep. Har's probably kicking himself for not taking Norlander.
Yeah, because I didn't. I was just about to say that I looked through these power rankings like four times today, and then I wrote down Norlander. I'm getting him for my third pick, absolutely. But he's in the goddamn power rankings.
Yeah. Yep.
I already had him queued up to drop it real quick.
It's a tough racket, Harv.
And I was going to take Van Ruyen as my third, but he's also in the power rankings.
Man.
So I'm going to go with a little guy named Bubba Watson for my third pick. Probably the stupidest pick of the whole year, but I'm doing it anyways.
Fuck it, I'm taking Kevin Na.
Had to get a lefty in there. I should have taken Kevin Na last week. He was up there. Harv?
Now that I can't take Norlander, I got to go back to the drawing board here.
Oh, boy.
But I think I'm going to take... what was that?
That was me. The ad on DraftKings after I made my team.
Take Aaron Crawford.
No, I'm going to take Chris Kirk.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Feel good story of the year.
That's right.
Okay. And my last pick, I'm taking Scott Stallings.
Okay. He's had some pretty good success this year, hey?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Harv?
Yeah.
Well, I want to take Norlander and I want to take List, and they're both in the rankings.
Yeah.
So, Chris Kirk it is.
Randy Man time.
It's time.
Wrap it up.
Dr. Randall texted me his picks. Same as always. Plugged in the numbers. Algorithm did its thing.
Same thing.
It's been stinking, though.
That algorithm is broken.
Might be tweaked this week, just saying. Numbers came out 29, 144, and 111. 29 is Jason Duffner.
Scott Sagenick on the bag.
144 is Christopher Ventura.
Not terrible.
Not a bad pick, actually.
Not terrible.
And 111 is Patrick Rogers. So,
oh,
Patrick Rogers was good last week.
And he's in the power rankings for this. So,
look out.
If any of those guys get COVID or have to withdraw for any other reasons, 124, Sepp Straka.
Oh.
And 16, Chad Campbell.
Ooh.
I almost took Sepp.
Yeah, Sepp was up there.
I think he's
last week.
The only guy that's played every single tournament since the reboot.
Really?
Yep.
Fun fact.
Im hasn't? That's probably why he sucks now.
No, he hasn't.
Oh, Im's been... He's been taking breaks.
Maybe he has played, and yeah, he missed a lot of cuts.
Yeah. Im hasn't been playing well lately. Oh. All right, well, that wraps it up. 123 in the books.
Another one.
Almost made it through six beers.
But you're not leaving until you do, so...
Well, yeah, I won't leave, but we got some editing to do, some other things. But yes, Brona won the bet, so now I'm going to sit here and drink my feelings.
Yep.
But until that finishes and until next week, it's time for us to hit the clubhouse.
Torn this boy.